So if you hadn't figured it out yet this morning, we're going to be spending a lot of time in Haggai. We'll be bouncing around a little bit in the New Testament as well. We're going to talk about first things first. Now, probably should put this on because I like to wander. Have you ever been in this situation? I know I have, as both a parent and a child, where either your mom or your dad tells you you can't go outside and go play or go ride, go whatever, do what you want to do until you take care of first things first. You need to get your room clean. You need to get your schoolwork done. There's important things that need to be done first before you want to go do these other things. And you're thinking, I got time. I'll do that later. I'll take care of it. Right? So as you see kind of in the picture, there's some bigger rocks and some smaller rocks back there. A little hard to see, but if you think about it, there's big rocks and little rocks in our life. And near the end of the lesson today, I'll give you kind of a quiz, kind of see how you're stacking up with the rocks that you have in life, because sometimes we have these rocks that take up a lot of space. And there's only so many rocks we can fit within our jar, so it depends on where we put these rocks and how we fill our jar is how we can take care of these things. But taking care of first things first, this is what Haggai was talking about, the Lord was talking about to the people. So let's start off the lesson about who was Haggai written for? Who was this written to? Well, we know right away that these were written to the Jews. They're about roughly 50,000, this remnant that had come back from captivity. And there were some tough times right in the comeback. They had been through a lot of rough situations. A lot of them had been carried off through captivity. A lot of them had died in captivity. So they'd had a very rough going. They get back, and Jerusalem, Judah, was in ruins. It had to be rebuilt. There was a lot of turmoil there. Now, these were people who believed in God. Now, they'd been rescued. They'd been brought back from captivity. And they did believe that God was to be put first in all things. They were putting first things first in their mind. They knew that God was important to them. He was their Savior, the one who's bringing them back from captivity, who protected them, who brought them through the wilderness. They remembered these stories, and they remembered who God was. These were also people who had good intentions. Their zeal inspired them to build altars. Immediately when they came back, they'd already built altars to the Lord, to put sacrifices there. And they'd already started building the foundation of the temple around 536 BC. But there were problems that arose. The surrounding neighbors around them created a lot of turmoil, a lot of tension for them, and they were not able to complete the temple as they intended to do in the first place. About 14 to 16 years later, the people got in kind of the routine of normal everyday life. They got into the farming, they got into raising families, building houses, because the work in the temple had stopped. They were not able to complete it at the time, and it just kind of sat off to the side, weeds growing around it, foundation laid, but nothing further had happened. So they got into the daily routine, the daily struggle of life, just taking care of the things that needed to be done. Life was normal without the temple. You can see that they got to the point where this was just kind of a normal thing. And without God being at the center, they really weren't putting the focus and the attention and putting first things first. So we're going to touch on this throughout the lesson today, but we're going to see who Haggai could be written for. Now, it wasn't just for the Jews back then who'd been coming back from captivity. But we can apply this today to Christians who some have put, at some point or another, suffered and made great, difficult decisions to serve God fully with their whole heart. Absolutely. Just like the Jews had done back then, a lot of us have been through a great deal of struggle and made some difficult decisions and wanted to put God first in their life. People who believe that God is to be put first in all things, we are those people. We are ones that would never say no to that. People who would have good intentions, where their zeal inspired them to grow and develop, having engaging group Bible studies, hosting others in their homes, taking part in devotions and gatherings with one another, taking part in leading Bible classes, serving God with all of their hearts, all of these things included, would be things that we have these good intentions of doing, these good hearts and direction and zeal to go toward. But just like the Jews encountered, there were problems. Over time, zeal for putting first things first grew dim. People focused on raising families, building homes, careers, jobs, however you want to put that. Priorities shifted. And the focus was not always putting first things first. Interestingly enough, this building was erected about 14 years ago. Food for thought there. Haggai's message of priority. He had a message of priority, and he was speaking to the Jews, letting them know that the temple was the first dwelling place for God, was the dwelling place for God back then, and it had been laid in ruins, and it had been sitting for quite some time. It had not been progressed. Of course, yes, they did run into some opposition, but that time had passed, and it was time to get back to work. So, it signaled a testimony of misplaced priorities. This message that Haggai was speaking through God, or from God, through Haggai, was an embarrassment to God of where his people had placed them in their hearts. God had to bring this to the forefront of their minds and tell them that you have placed me on the back burner. You have put me in a position where I'm no longer first in your life, and you're putting these other things in a higher position. Haggai's message was blunt and to the point. He didn't beat around the bush. He didn't waste any time or words in getting this message to the people. And we see in chapter 2 that they were to be following after his pleas and his leadership, along with some of the other leaders of the land and the people at that time. So how did Haggai encourage the people to get back in gear? Now, that's a big question, right? So they're in a position now where they've realized, hey, we've fallen behind. We've let some things get slack in our life. How does Haggai encourage them to make a change, to do better? Well, I can see that he puts about four different steps in place as he's talking with the people, and we'll cover those four steps this morning. First of all, he's going to remove the excuses. And again, here's an application we can make for all of us in our own lives. He removed the excuses. He tells them to stop being selfish. He tells them to don't lose out on God's blessings. There are a lot of things that are passing you by that he's not giving you or he's taking from you that you could be receiving if you just put him first. And finally, he tells them to take inventory and evaluate yourself, to look at yourself and see where you're at and make changes where necessary. So we're going to touch on each one of these four things this morning that Haggai had put out there for them to make these changes. First of all, he was talking about was stopping the excuses. So if you really want to do something, you're going to find a way. And if you don't, you're going to find an excuse. I think that's a pretty simple way of putting things. When we want to do something, and I'm just as guilty as the next person, there is something I want to do, it seems like I will bend all sorts of things or make things move or whatever to my schedule, to my ability to make that happen. Now, if there's something I don't want to do, I will also bend things and move things around and make that to where it doesn't happen. I'm going to make excuses, and I'm going to make reasons why I can't get that done. And that's where we often find ourselves. We often find ourselves putting ourselves in that same position where we make excuses in cases where it's just not something I want to do right now. God confronted the people because they had said in their hearts, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. They didn't feel that this was the right time, this was the right place. They made an excuse in 1 verse 2. God saw this right through that. The people would have said, God wants me to take care of my family, to do what it takes to keep my job and promotion, to get my affairs in order, to get my house up and erected and in place and protect and provide for my family. That's where the important things lie. That's where I got to take care of stuff. These are all excuses. God saw right through that because the people were making these excuses. Whether they said that in their mind, these were the actions and things that they were doing. Remember, excuses are not always what we say. It has a lot about what we do. So stopping the excuses. So we can always find ways out of responsibilities. That's easy. Ask yourself this question. Have you thought of this when putting first things first. Now is not the right time. It's not the right time. Got too much going on at home to take all of this on. So before you answer that, for every one of these, there are examples. This is not just something that I'm coming up with. Luke chapter 10. Starting in verse 38. Talks about someone else who was making an excuse and thinking that there's too much going on right now that I can't be involved in these other things. Starting in verse 38, now it happened as they went and entered a... Now it happened as they went and entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister who called Mary, who also was sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha, who was distracted with much serving, she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." Mary had chosen first things first. Put Jesus in front of serving others at that point. She knew this was the important thing to do, and her sister had lost sight of that. And she was making excuses, and she wanted her sister to do the other things. She didn't want her to do the first things first. "Jesus, tell her to help me serve. This is a great burden on my hands, and I need help with doing this." But Jesus said, "You need to do the first things first, and what I have for you is much more important than serving and taking care of these things." All right, another one. "So my kids are very demanding, and it's a critical point right now in their lives. That's where I need to spend my focus and time." Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 will also speak against that. Verse 37 says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." I think it says pretty clearly here that putting too much focus and too much attention where it draws away from putting God first, Christ first in our lives, is wrong. And he says that very clearly. When we put our family in front of serving God and being in unity with him, that is a problem. So here's another excuse I know I have made in the past. When things slow down a bit at work, I can help with that. It's just not a good time right now. And you can plug in whatever. Things at home, things at school, whatever it is. It's just not a good time for me. I'm too busy. I got too much going on. My jar is full. 1 John 2:17 says, "The world is passing along with its desires." These things are going to pass away. They are not going to be around. It's not where the focus ought to be put. Luke chapter 14, verse 16, talks about the man who bought a piece of land and made excuses to say, "Hey, I've got to take care of this." Luke 14:16, "And a certain man who had a great supper invited many and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all came with one accord and began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see to it. I ask then that you have me be excused.' And others made the same similar things. 'I bought five yoke of oxen and I must test them.' Another still yet said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.'" What happened? Well, the master was angry about these things. He was very honestly, he was very upset about this, and you can see why. They were not putting first things first. They were not putting the master at the top of the list, because we get too involved in thinking about, well, I got to take care of this. I've got to do this one thing. It'll be done in a little while, and then I'll get to it. But what happens? Well, we fill our plate, our jar, with more of those little rocks, and we fill it up a little bit more, and we just don't have enough room to get back to that. That's where the excuses start, and we just continue to go in that downward spiral. So here's one that can be an issue for us. Health has been a real issue for me, and I'm not sure that God wouldn't want me to focus on that instead. Of course, God wants me to be healthy. He does. But that can also be a detriment to us as well. How did Paul handle that situation? 2 Corinthians 12:7. What was Paul doing? Well, he'd asked three times that that thorn in the flesh be removed from him. That was obviously bothering him. It was giving him some real issues to where he was seeing that this is not, I'm not able to do my job that I'm able to do effectively. And he was beginning to think that this would be a lot easier if this would just be removed. Well, God had told him that that was not going to happen, and that he learned later on that God's power is made perfect in weakness. And that became a lot of the things that he began to speak to others. And 2 Corinthians 12:9 speaks to that very same thing. He began to show that weakness in us and weakness in our infirmities, the things that give us issue and problems, are the things that we can show God's power and strength through. How does God work? Well, he works in those directions, through the weak, through the meek, through those who are humble. And when we have problems and infirmities and issues in our life that are health-related, we can still use those things to God's advantage. So we have to put those excuses aside. Stop making excuses and start making changes. I think that was the big message that Haggai was trying to get across to them and to us today. The next one that Haggai was speaking to was about them and their selfishness. Now, what had they done at this point that was showing that they were selfish? Well, in 134, it was mentioned that it is a time to live in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins. Now, you don't just get a house in place, and by the time you start paneling and doing all the finishing touches and stuff, you're getting down to the fine details. I mean, you more than just have a roof over your head. At this point, you're getting the trim work done. You're getting all the little stuff done. You're filling in the little spots. This was the point. Now they're getting to the fine details, and they're spending a lot more time on this than obviously in taking care of God's house. So they were being selfish with their time. They were being selfish with their resources. And that's something we can easily find ourselves in the same position where we spend too much time and effort wasting it in the finishing touches, trying to get things just perfect, just the way I want, and we're neglecting the more important areas. We can be selfish with our own time because we think, hey, I got plenty of it, 24 hours in a day. And if we give no thought to how we live, we will naturally, for ourselves, be bent toward selfishness. That's a true fact. If you spend more time thinking about what can I do with my time, what can I do with my time, and if we actually spend no time in thought to how we divide that time up, it's going to fleet away from us. It's going to disappear. And it's going to be bent toward fulfilling our desires. And that's where the Jews were at back in the book of Haggai. They were at a point where they were focusing on internal things. They were focusing on themselves, the families, the homes, the jobs, whatever was there in front of them. And that's where their focus lied. So where should we put our best hours, our best efforts, our best energies? Where should they be spent? We're not the only ones who struggle with this. The Jews struggled with it too. They obviously had issues with it. Throughout the entire New Testament, we see where people struggled with it. But we ask ourselves, when we have our best hours, when are your best hours? Well, is it at 11:30 at night when you're one eye open and you're barely awake? Is that your best hours? Is that where you should be giving to God? Or is it in a better part of your day where you're awake, you're alert, you're ready to give those efforts and energies and being spending them to God? So just something to think about as we're thinking about how we spend our own time. The third thing Haggai speaks about is not to lose out on God's blessings. Now, he made it pretty clear in chapter 1 and chapter 2 that there were things that they were missing out on. There were some obvious things that they were not receiving because of their actions. Now, in Haggai, chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, I highlighted some things there to help kind of point out a little bit of where they were missing out. Or they're missing the boat. Now, the Lord of hosts says this: think carefully about your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough to be satisfied. You drink, but you never have enough to become drunk. You put on clothes, but you never have enough to get warm. The wage earner puts wages into his bag, but yet there's a hole in it. So you can see all of these things that they're doing in vain. They're trying to get this done. They're trying to plant. They're trying to eat. They're trying to drink. They're trying to wear clothes. They're trying to store things up. But it's not working out for them. And why is that? Because they're not putting God first. So do we have an idea what this means? Can we apply this today? Yeah, we're probably not planters. Most of us are not farmers. But we plant other things. We put our efforts into other seed bags, if you want to call them that. We spend a lot of time in investing in other things. Same thing with, you can take that for the eating, the drinking, the clothes. Yeah, we're pretty blessed. Everybody here's got clothes on today. I think you're all pretty warm, pretty comfortable. That's good. But these are not the things that he's talking about here, okay? These are not the things where you could have bountiful blessings in many other areas. And he's saying that you're being withheld from these things because you're not putting first things first. Have you ever felt like you've just been spinning your wheels? Have you got to the end of the week and thought, what did I do this week? What did I do today? Did I really get anything accomplished that I wanted to get done, or did I just kind of breeze on by, get through things? Where did I spend my best energies, my best efforts? So is God trying to tell us that we are missing out? What I'm trying to ask you. Is God trying to let us know that we are missing out on some of the good blessings that he has for us? So don't lose out on these blessings, because we often miss out on blessings when we neglect to put first things first. God can and has withheld blessings like rain on the land, the good and desired things, the things that we harvest, bring in, the things that we plant, the things that we put a lot of effort into. And if you want to think about it that way, that's probably an easier way to think of it today. The things that we put a lot of effort into, does that seem to just go by the wayside and it doesn't turn out the way we want it to? We must put his house first and blessings will follow. We see, it's kind of an example of what you see in Matthew 6:33, where putting his kingdom first and these other things will follow. And finally, we are to take inventory and evaluate ourselves. Haggai told them twice to consider their ways, chapter 1, verse 5 and 7, to give careful thought in examining their life in light of God's view of what was going on. God was pointing out to them what the problem was, and he told them, you need to consider your ways. You need to look carefully and examine yourself, take inventory of where you're at, and make changes accordingly. Someone who truly evaluates themselves honestly will see flaws. And I think that's true in every single case. When we really look back at ourselves and look in the mirror to try and point out those flaws, we're going to find them. Nobody knows ourselves better than we do. Compare themselves to the standard that God has set and make adjustments accordingly. So when we begin to look where we can make those changes and apply them accordingly, that's going to best serve us to be making those changes when we actually do the changes. Now, these are just some portions from Psalm chapter 119, just some things from verses 1 all the way through 32. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep in the testimonies, those who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Make me understand the ways of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. So you can see throughout these different verses here that when we walk, like we learned in class this morning, we walk worthily. When we walk in a way that we subject ourselves to Christ, In a way that is blameless, in a way that is sacrificial, in a way that is always seeking the Lord, That's the direction he wants us to go. Oh, that we make our ways to be steadfast, okay, to be held fast in the way and keeping your statutes, your commandments, your ways, oh God. Help us to meditate on these things, to think about them, to ponder them on your wondrous works. So take inventory and evaluate ourselves. So putting first things first, where do we start? How do we get to the point where we can start making these changes? When we start putting God first, we give him priority by spending quality time with him daily in prayer. That's in your personal prayers and your prayers with your family. When we're speaking with him, when we're talking with him, we're putting him first. We're talking with him often. That's going to also translate in the ways that we outward appearance of what we do in obedient service. When we work to serve others, the things that we're doing for others. How are we serving those that we're sitting amongst right now? How are we serving those in the community when we're talking to others? How are we putting him first when we're honoring him and keeping the priorities right? Putting him first, the church, the family, in proper perspective. Do we often get those mixed up? Well, we need to hit the reset button and make sure that we are keeping him first and putting our time and our efforts in the according categories. So we talked about this a little bit in the beginning, but I'm going to give you the jar test now. So you can see from this clear jar back here, how many of you say this jar is full? Okay, a couple hands, a little bit here and there. Looks pretty full. I mean, it's not quite overflowing yet. Some pretty large rocks sitting in that jar. And you kind of think of the jar as your life. These rocks are things that we put in it every day. They're things that consume our time, consume our energies, our efforts. When we start to fill up the jar, we could say, yeah, this jar is pretty well full. How about this jar? If you were to compare to the jar before, would you say that jar is full? Now, obviously, I'm not talking about the little bit at the very, very top, but would you say that is a full jar? Okay, yeah, you guys didn't put your hands up this time, so that's now you're kind of catching on a little bit. You're thinking, you know, I can still get more in that jar, right? There's still little bitty spaces in there, and you're thinking about your life, and thinking, that's a pretty full jar. I don't know, there's a lot I got in there. I don't know that I can fit any more into my life. All right, so now which jar are you? You think about this. Are we the full jar over here on the right where we put the rocks, the big rocks in? Remember what I talked about the big rocks were at first, the priorities. Or do we start filling up our jar with all the little stuff first, like the jar on the left, and then we start piling in the bigger rocks because, oh, yeah, I got to get these fit in, and by the time, oh, I got the really big rocks left, I'm running out of room. I can't get them all in there. I'm overflowing. Some of them are falling out. The big rocks didn't go in first. And that's a problem because when we look like the jar on the left and we wait to put our big rocks in last, we can't fit them in. We got to empty our jar and start over. So that's what I'm asking you this morning. Have you got a jar on the left or the right? How have you made your priorities? How have you set things in order? Because that's what it comes down to, is when we're putting God first, when we're putting him first in our lives, those large rocks, those things that are the important things are going to go in first. And then we try and fit those other things around after that to fit it in. So if you need to make a change this morning in your life to put God first, to make those changes, to make your jar in the right category, think about that as we come forward and stand and sing, let us help you if we can do that.